Roundabout with Tony Barnfield on Cambridge 105 Radio.
Hello there. Thought that Classico Latino, when we spoke before Graham Walker, was based in Colombia.
Well, because our pianist Ivan is Colombian, the majority of our travel in South America has been to Colombia, but we play music from all across the continent. This particular album has a Cuban focus, as you say, so it was a delight to be able to explore that particular cultural heritage.
And Ivan Guevara, you actually come from Colombia?
Yes, I was born in Bogota, that's where I come from, but I have been in the UK for the last 25 years, and I'm British now.
Right.
Very proudly so.
But equally proud of your Colombian roots, I think.
Yes, very much so, because that is what led to this project when Graham and I first met here in Cambridge, actually, when we were both students here at the university, to put together our two cultural backgrounds together, which at the time people thought it would be kind of impossible. But we did, with the Latin music, not just Colombian, all the Latin American music, because we started playing the boleros, the tangos, the pasodobles and all these things. And it's been a journey where we have explored the Andean music, and now we have taken the step towards the more tropical side of the story, which is not the kind of music that classical instruments do.
And Graham, I know that you are known widely for your cello playing. Your instrument, Ivan, is piano?
I'm a pianist, yes. Yeah.
So it's not just the two of you, at least most times, is that right?
No, we started off just the two of us, and that was as Ivan was saying, that's how we began. Quickly, we realised that to have a violin playing as well would increase the range and scope of the music. And more recently, we've started working with vocalists and percussionists and bass players. So our standard ensemble is six players. In fact, on this album, we had up to about 10 players at any one time.
And where did you record it?
We recorded in the Egrem Studios in Havana, the very studios where the Buena Vista Social Club recorded all those years ago.
Gosh.
So it's redolent and full of history.
Yes, and it feels very sort of ethnic, I would say, the music.
Yes, what we tried to do was, there's an element of rescuing the roots of the original Cuban rhythms that have been like the roots for the modern salsa and all the rhythms that people dance nowadays. So in this album, you'll have composers like Ernesto Lecuona, who I would compare him like with Elgar here, I suppose.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's their Elgar in Cuba, Ernesto Lecuona, who has also a wide range of compositions. And here we try to pay homage to that root. So, yes, it is the song, the folkloric roots of Cuba, but with a classical touch. And the fusion is about giving elegance to all that joy of the Latin music, but still, the locals need to recognize that the song, that's why we took the risk of going to Cuba and recorded in a Cuban famous studio with a Cuban producer, because they were going to tell us if that was wrong or right.
And was it right?
Yes, in the end. We had some moments. There was a moment and we were trying to record one particularly complex rhythm and it wasn't quite working out. And there were some heated discussions, I think I would say. I think it's come out fantastically well.
And, of course, you're going to be taking part in the Festival of Ideas here in Cambridge.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the festival is a huge thing here in Cambridge, and it's something that I've been to many events for and taken my children to. And so we're delighted that they have accepted our half-day event called Viva Cuba. We've got a sing and dance for a children's event. There's a film showing. We've got food trucks with cocktails and wonderful food from Cambridge Food Park. And then we have our launch concert in the evening, where we have the fabulous Omar Puente, who's coming to play with us, who's actually on the album as well. And I think it'll be a really exciting evening. Omar was born in Cuba and he lives in the UK now. He's been in the UK for, I guess, 20 or 30 years perhaps. He's a fantastic jazz violinist and he came with us to Cuba, back to Cuba for him, to record with us on the album. And so I think we'll hear he has a fantastic solo in the song Amor Verdadero. Omar he was born in Cuba and he lives in the UK now. He's been in the UK for, I guess, 20 or 30 years, perhaps. He's a fantastic jazz violinist and he came with us to Cuba, back to Cuba for him, to record with us on the album. And so I think we'll hear his, he has a fantastic solo in the song Amor Verdadero, which is track 13 on the disc.
Ivan, you have been involved with this, but what do you do day by day?
Well, I am a lawyer and I am a general counsel of a very busy investment fund in the City of London. But this is my other job. Yeah, my evening job, and sometimes when we go on tour, then I have to live. But I've been lucky enough that everywhere where I have worked as a lawyer and now as a senior lawyer, it's so unusual. Mm. That everybody supports it and they think it's incredible. And I'm working things out so that they can not only support it, but sponsor it at whatever we can. Because it's unusual. It's really unusual that someone who, like myself, that plays an active role in corporate life, then in the evening, I go on stage and can play these concerts. In fact, they're all going to come to Cambridge to our concert, to our launch concert in West Road. And they are delighted because, again, it's something a bit out of the ordinary.
The amazing life of Cambridge alumni. Graham, of course, you are an alumnus as well of St. John's. You were both there.
That's right.
How did that moment happen? Whose idea was it really?
Well, Ivan had given a concert in the Martyrs Lodge with a flautist, with music from Colombia and from across Latin America. And the people who had been had said, actually, that might sound rather nice with a cello. Why don't you ask this young English cellist? And we hadn't actually met before this, but Ivan stopped me on the Bridge of Sighs and asked me if I'd like to have a go at playing Latin music. And I didn't know anything about Latin America at all. I mean, I knew it existed, of course. I'd seen it on the map. But I didn't know anything about it. Certainly nothing about the music. I'd heard of tango, perhaps. I may have heard of salsa, but nothing more than that. And I thought, well, you know, what's to lose? Well, have a look and see what it's like. And so we met up in the New Music Room at St. John's and we tried playing some things. And it was a rather different experience to my normal day-to-day musical life in that, yes, I had some notes to play. They were printed. It was a child's score, so they were enormous notes with a letter printed inside the dot in case I had trouble reading it. But the main focus of the rehearsal was not about what the notes are. It was about the story behind the song and the feeling behind the song. And that's really what we were talking about mostly. And so I remember Ivan asking me, so this is a song about kissing. How would you kiss a girl? And this is not the kind of question that one normally comes across in a string quartet rehearsal. So it was very interesting.
So Latin America, it's a vast area. Is it all Spanish speaking?
Yes, with the big exception of Brazil. Brazil, which obviously speaks Portuguese, and there are some little countries next between Brazil and Venezuela, like Guyana, that speak French and English as well. But otherwise, if you take from Mexico to Argentina, that's that Spanish influence. Mm. Right, that gave, you know, in the South Cone, you have the tangos and all this kind of music. And then in the Andes sort of countries, which are the five main Andean countries, you have waltzes, you have rhythms that we have explored a lot with classical Latino, like pasillos or bambucos, of which people know little about here. But they are closer to the European tradition because they were developed when the locals were not allowed in the ballrooms that the Spaniards had. And then in the coast, Caribbean and Pacific, but the Caribbean specifically, which is shared with all the islands like Puerto Rico, Cuba, and then Florida in the US and so on. Well, you have all this tropical music, which has African influence and other influences from other parts, but it's very rhythmical. So there's a lot of drums and rhythm and it's danceable music. So for us, exploring all this has been an interesting journey and a good one.
Let's have another track, perhaps one with some vocal.
Absolutely. I would suggest that we look at Se Quema La Chumbamba, which is track 9. So this is a son, which is the rhythm perhaps that people in the UK would most associate with Cuba. It's was written by a family called the Familia Miranda Valera, and they're a big family of son performers from Cuba, and I think it's a really fun one.
You've both been to Colombia. I mean, presumably you were dragged there for the first time, Graham.
Well, I went, I think in 2006 we went for the first time. And obviously that's where Ivan's connections are, and so that was our first trip to Latin America. Yes, that was my first time in Latin America.
And how did it go down there? Are you very unusual compared to what usually goes on over there in Colombia?
Oh, totally. I mean, Graham is the total darling of the media. They cannot believe it. Not only because the first trip we were invited to play a charity concert in the Opera House, and that was great, but then we were invited again because we were spotted by the media. And we went to play in a very, probably the most renowned festival of Andean music, which was very daring for us to do because that's, it's a competition, it's very serious. And all of a sudden we're there playing their music. And even though I was Colombian, I never played there before. I was classically trained myself. I never played the Colombian music before. And they, we go as a British group. And in the history of this festival for 30 plus years, they never had anyone from here. The most foreigners they had were from Spain, probably, and Mexico, and that was the end of it. Oh, and Venezuela as well. But then all of a sudden we arrived there playing their music. You cannot believe the success it was. It was emotional in all possible ways. I cannot tell you here what they threw to Graham and us on stage, from sombreros, handkerchiefs and other pieces of clothing. It was unbelievable, unbelievable. And they loved it. And the media couldn't get enough of the story of how is it possible that, because this Andean music is the music from the grandparents. So that people associate, oh, this from my granny used to sing that or used to dance that before the Caribbean took over. And all of a sudden this British group comes along playing it all in a new kind of fresher way. It was unbelievable.
Do you think the classical training that you both had helps?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And we always talk about classical training as being the meeting of two worlds. And I think the it's absolutely true in so many ways. And the classical discipline that you have combined with the freshness and the feel and what I was saying before about the message of the songs, those two together, I think, makes it what it is. It makes gives it the power and the vitality. And it means that, you know, you can stand up on a classical stage in the Opera House in Bogota, for instance, and you know that you can play because, you know, you have mastery of your instrument, but still you've got the soul of the music as well.
And how do your students, because you teach here in Cambridge, and very much to do with classical music, much more than this, how do your students react when they learn about this?
With a certain amount of disbelief, I think I have to say. I don't do so much teaching nowadays. I teach some prep school kids at King's, and they don't know, to be honest, because they're 8, 9, and 10. What would they understand about it? So I don't tend to talk about it. My students, because I run two chapel choirs, my students, I think, when they first meet me, they don't know anything about it, and then you know the rumours circulate, and I think they don't really quite know what to make of it, to be honest.
Do you think they'll be coming along to your event?
Well, I hope so. In fact, we've got a backing vocals group from my two college choirs who'll be doing Cuban salsa, which which will be a bit different from their normal day-to-day work in the college chapel. So I hope so, yeah.
And have you actually performed in one of the chapels before?
We have, yeah. We performed several, I think. We've done, well, certainly St John's. We did a May concert a few years ago. Trinity we performed at. Clare, maybe. Yeah.
And does that sound fit well there?
I would say it's tricky. You know, the acoustically, actually, because they're resonant acoustics, and you need a certain clarity to get the rhythmic energy across. But what we find is that the music is so infectious and lively and communicative. I mean, these are short songs, but they convey a mood and a character very immediately, and that I think comes across.
When is the trio, you know, the basic trio that plays in a church, it works out very well. It's a normal piano trio, piano, violin and cello. I think you're right, it's more tricky when you put the drums and other things inside, you know, the church, then you need to be careful.
Yeah. And it feels a little odd, I have to say. I mean, you know, you've got this ecclesiastical architecture and suddenly you're, as I was saying, playing a song about kissing. You know, it's
But great fun, and I've seen you, I think, at Trinity, in fact, and you bring people in and you're very, very lively and active, aren't you, when you're performing?
Because we try to reenact our first rehearsal, as Graham was explaining. If we're playing a bolero, like Bésame Mucho, which means kiss me much, as if this night was the last. And that's the whole purpose of the song. That's your score, you know. So if you do that with the audience, like Graham presents phenomenally well, pasillo called Flirtings, right? It's about flirting. So obviously it's instrumental. So if you give the audience this message behind, they connect more personally with the song. And if it is something about love or something sad, it's the same thing. So we have discovered that our show is not only playing, is also explaining what was the purpose of each song, and that and you share it with the audience, they connect incredibly.
And away from Latin America, who are the composers you like particularly?
I have a very, very eclectic taste. So, I would go back as far as Byrd, perhaps Talis, Palestrina, through to the present day. But they're slightly off piece when we're talking about classical Latin.
Yes. And Ivan?
Whoa, wow. No, well, and I would say when I'm not doing this music like these days, I like the Moonlight Sonatas and that kind of thing. And I play classical music when no one is watching, just for myself. But I do like the old classical piece of Bach to relax the soul.
Well, we'll have another track from the album in a moment. Are you going back to Colombia or to Cuba at all in the near future?
We're just actually negotiating to return to Colombia in September next year. We did have an invitation from the Cuban government to play in Havana in the cathedral this November, because it's the 500th anniversary?
500th anniversary of Havana, and they want us to play in the cathedral, the old cathedral in Havana, but it's too soon to say we're going to make it, but it is on the table.
Right. Okay, well, I wish you both huge success with the album and with everything else. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.